6 CLX Mobile monitoring.
CLX 0 TR.
What are you doing out at this time of day? You're in all the traffic.
Just walked in the door from harvesting tomatoes and raspberries, and now I gotta go get the cucumbers. If you need any, all you gotta do is stop by.
I love fresh cucumbers. Now you also need to go wring a chicken and get chicken salad.
I suppose so, but they're too tough. What you been up to today?
I'm the one, it sounds like, braving the traffic. I'm just trying to get home now.
Well, what'd you do at work today?
As well, possible, does that count?
It's either a bomb or he worked.
Well, I got to run because I got some cucumbers to go pick. No call sign there, so I'll talk to you later, Damon. This is N0TR.
Oh my God, Tom, I didn't know that you didn't recognize my voice. KJ4CTD Mobile.
Well, that's different. Oh, shoot. I didn't. And in fact, I thought it was somebody else.
People on Pleasantburg do not know how to drive.
Driving, South Carolina.
All of our imports. So I'm sorry, I completely missed what you were saying because I was busy letting loose explicatives.
Michael on his way home, N6 CLX, and good to hear you, Wyatt. Heard Dave earlier, he put an announcement on about the meeting tonight for the bars.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to say hi. I'll get back out of the way. I can't function in traffic. KJ4CTD monitoring.
I understand, Wyatt. You be careful out there. This is N0TR. I called you David Michael. Go ahead.
Now you got me confused. But that's okay. That's easy. Very easy to do. Oh, I just put in a couple small orders today, and I don't know. It's Monday. I didn't feel like being there, and I worked like it.
Seems to me you need an attitude adjustment.
I think it's partly because I was on a trip last week, out of town on an airplane. First one since 2019, and worked my tail off, and I'm still tired.
Well, work will do that to you, Michael. Well, Bernice just brought over some of her homemade salsa, so I'm probably going to get singed a little here, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Bandage it up.
We took some fried okra over to my neighbor last night, some hummingbird cake, and I went over and picked up the dishes a while ago, and went out and gathered eggs, and got about, I don't know, 6 eggs, I think, and then I started picking tomatoes, and she's got these baskets that you get strawberries from Strawberry Hill on, and they're pretty good size, and I filled 3 of those, and then a Cool Whip container full of raspberries, and I haven't even started on the cucumbers yet.
Mindy, last week I was out of town. This weekend I was, every time I thought about it, I said, nah, I don't feel like it. So I gotta go home and pick some blueberries before the birds all get sick.
Two, and they're good for you, that's for sure. Oh, we had a neighbor over here, just trying to recount the afternoon, and she's a dandy. And she come on and visited the last couple of days, and when she got a taste of Bernice's hummingbird cake, she come over today and wanted the recipe.
What she put in it?
Selma, on how much poison I put out on the flowers out front.
Okay, that's a good answer.
And well, you gotta have a dumb answer for a dumb question. Shoot. No, what you got in it, Mom? It's got cherries and pineapple and bananas and nuts and oysters.
It is delicious.
And then she put some kind of pudding in it and to make it more moist than most people's. And then she makes this icing that's fit to be killed for. I mean, it's delicious.
DLX.
Thomas Brian, I'm just on the way home.
I got a mouthful of salsa here with a potato chip. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to your midday snack there. Sounds really good. I don't know what hummingbird cake is or hummingbird pie, but sounds like Bernice makes a good one.
Most everything good, and so with the neighbors. And that peach pie she made the other day was out of this world. But I'm sorry to say I'm showing the effects of it.
Chicken.
A beer cake, I'd say. But that may soon stop. I got to take a echo on a chemical stress test here for my heart come Friday. They'll probably cut me off.
That's what the doctor says. But, you know, you got a few days. Enjoy it till then.
Go ahead, Michael.
What a chemical stress test. They're doing that because they're afraid they'll kill you if they do the physical one?
Extremely bad back and four screws in my left foot and wear an ankle brace and just getting too old and decrepit for that and a little congestive heart failure.
Acid and you turn either pink or blue?
At my age, they're just allowed to take me out and shoot me and put me out of my misery.
No arm to shoot back.
How does that go over too big? Shoot. Well, you guys are the working class guys today. I try to stay out of that heat as much as possible, but it's supposed to be a beautiful day tomorrow.
It's an air-conditioned building there at GE, and it's only maybe a quarter full because so many people working from home about freeze to death, even though it's 100 degrees outside.
Brian, I'll tell you, Amy, she just come back from Florida, and then she turned around, and the oldest one wanted to meet up with his girlfriend up at Carowinds this weekend, so they went up there for the weekend. She's worn out.
Did Fox down there at Disney? Because, I mean, that's like a full week of amusement right there.
Basketball camp. And when they got done with the basketball camp of several days, she took him to Universal Studio for 2 days.
Tell me specific instructions of what to see and what order to do it in when I went to Universal Studios a few years ago. So she knows that place pretty well.
And you know, when she was a kid, we didn't have the money for stuff like that. And they were lucky to get to go to Worlds of Fun in Kansas City or Six Flags. I think we went to Six Flags over St. Louis one time. And, boy, it's like a second address for these kids. They just don't realize what their mom and dad does for them.
Yes, that's how I grew up. I think I went to an amusement park once, and now every kid gets to go to Disney. I've never been to Carowinds myself, and neither have my kids, but we did go to Six Flags in Georgia. That was pretty nice about, I don't know, a year ago or so.
One of the original ones. I don't doubt it. Oh, yeah, and she's taking them to the Dolly's place up there, Dolly Parton's place, several times, and... In fact, they were up there not long ago when they... She's trying to get the oldest one going in football and basketball. And it just works the death out of her and it works the death out of the kids. The kids have all been in camps all summer. They haven't been sitting around on their butts watching the LCDs, you know, on the pads and stuff.
It's bad. You got to get out there and get active, stay active, and, you know, keep your body moving, keep your brain moving during the summer. But everybody needs a little bit of a break, too. I guess it's a balance.
You could get a little on the expensive side, but she does, and she's a great mom. And if you didn't realize it, she is the alpha male of that family.
That championship rings. I've seen them, so I don't doubt that a bit.
I imagine somebody else paid for her winning those in football. Shoot. Yeah, she really loved that. And she still coaches at some.
I got another friend in town that played in that same league. Another lady that was interested in the male sports kind of thing and played in that league. She's great, too. I asked Amy if she knew her one time, and they never ran across each other.
The football team was a National Women's Football League, and they went all over the United States to different places and played. I was surprised, and we went up and watched her once, but she knows I do not like football. It's Neanderthal. I have no use for it for my grandsons. I don't want to see them get hurt, and so we have kind of a armistice about that. She knows how I feel, and I don't discourage him, but I sure don't encourage him. I'd a lot rather see him play basketball and other things, and I know you can get hurt at those, but football, no. That's too risky.
And worse than seeing a kid or a grandkid get hurt in a football game, and then you're stuck in the stands and don't even have access to him on the field until it's all over. That would be rough. Hey, Mike, you still there?
Yes, I am. Just listening in.
Well, I tried to send it over to you, Mike, and you know me, at my age, I slip a little bit.
985 or this NASCAR track, whatever.
It's ER. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that 85 has turned into something, man. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a NASCAR track because on NASCAR track, the cars are moving.
Put on the car down there, discount tire. Got some new Michelin, so I'm ready for them. And I had my front brakes changed the other day. We've got 70,000 miles on the Avalon, and I went up today and bought the rear ones, and he's going to put those on for me when it gets a little cooler.
Daughter's car ready to go to college. I got to get her a new battery, check her brakes, all that kind of stuff. I only got a couple weeks left. Thanks for reminding me.
That cost, I'll tell you, because of the School of Business at Ohio State. So we went up there to her graduation party a couple of weeks ago. And that gets a little on the expensive side. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm telling you, I took my first trip, went to Detroit last week, and when people say, like, there's no pandemic down here, man, they're not kidding. Go up there and it's trying to find a place to eat. That's a chore.
Listen to a statistics today. More people die of Alzheimer's disease every day in the U.S. than they do of this Delta variant, and 10 times as many people die of a heart-related problem than they do of COVID every day. So it's kind of being blown out of proportion.
I think you're getting your information from the wrong place. There was just today, and South Carolina's not leading anywhere by far. They had 1,397 cases and 2 deaths just today.
You know, across the country, the number of deaths per day is 300 when it was something like 3,000 a day during the peak. So it's really, really down from what it was.
And the total for the United States today was 197,000, and this Delta variant's blowing up exponentially. I told Bernice, you know, the flu, it subsides. I mean, the regular flu in like February and March, it starts coming down. And when the warm weather hits, Brian, you just wait until the cold weather hits and hang on to your hat, because this stuff is exponentially worse at transmission rates, and it's bad news bears, I'll tell you. Go ahead, Mike.
If it keeps spreading like it is, we'll have all had it and have some kind of immunity, I guess. Either that, or Lord will take me home and I won't have to worry about it.
It lasts for 90 days when you have it, and you still need to get the shot.
I don't believe that, Tom, because a neighbor got COVID over a year ago, and she gets tested for immunity, and she's got antibodies still, and that's well over a year.
After that, that's not what they've been saying, but I still think you're much better off to have the shot, and the statistics are out there, and you know, when you got a, like today, and it's nothing like it was, and you get 197,000 in the United States and 1,400 here in South Carolina, which is one of the lower ones, it's not a good thing. And with my age and affliction, shall we call it, it would be certain death for me. But my nephew's a medical scientist and been that, and the CEO of a drug company, and he said, I asked him, I said, you going to get your family vaccinated, Mike? He says, we'll be the first in line. And he knows the technology right down to the DNA.
And 6CL X-Friday. Yeah, and we got ours a long time ago, both shots. But, you know, I'm not going to be one of those that points my finger and puts it in someone's face and says, you will get a shot. You know, that's a personal decision. You don't want to get it? That's your choice.
K8HAN, I just keep hoping I'll wake up and this whole thing will be just one old nightmare and it'll be over with.
In my opinion, yes, it should be mandatory. And I know when I was in the military, you went down the line, they shot you in both arms. They didn't ask if you wanted it or not. The idea was if somebody got sick, they'd pass it on to somebody else, and then they'd pass it on exponentially down the line. I got a friend over here, a dear friend that's a teacher, and she's not going to get it. And you know what? Our children are our most cherished possession. And for her not to get it, I think should be mandatory. And they're making it mandatory now for the military and all government agencies. And I think that you'll see that down the line. Whether I'm in a minority or not, I don't care. I never have been. I don't like football either, and that sure puts me in a minority. But I hope you guys are right.
Vaccinated too, so we're at least covered that way from transmitting it from person to person. I just hope it goes away. I'm so tired of it.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of statistics and numbers and all the other junk. You know, I guess, like you said, three people died or two people died from it today, but man, more than that died in the county here just from automobile and motorcycle accidents.
Yeah, I mean, a few months ago, we had 70, 80 people a day dying in South Carolina from COVID. So if you look at it from that perspective, it's a lot better. I mean, it'd be better to have none dying, of course, but we're making progress.
That's the way I look at it. And I don't watch any of the nightly news because they're all a pack of BS. What I watch is either Fox News local or Channel 7 or Channel 4 local. And there's bias there too, I know. But I watch a half hour of that and then I shut it off and go watch an old Western or something. But it's kind of like the flu. I still have people that are friends that, oh, I'm not going to take a flu shot. I get the flu from it. No, you don't. It's a dead virus. So's the RNA and stuff in this one. Oh, well, it's experimental. No, it ain't. You went through all three phases of the FDA. So it's like telling somebody to quit smoking. You're wasting your breath.
people can get all worked up and yell and scream about one side or the other, it's because of the media. You know, you got a left and a right side of the media, and they're taking extreme positions, and there's no compromise in the middle of what's true. So it's a mess, and it's causing people to take one side or the other.
This country is polarized, right and left, and in between the two, there's not a stinking piece of logic being used. No one's thinking anymore. I'm tired of it. N6CLX.
N0TR. No one believes them anymore. They've lied so much. You're right about that, Mike. But I don't know what would happen to us if we hadn't had the polio vaccine, if we hadn't had the flu vaccine, and yada, yada, yada. What about penicillin and all of those different ones? Oh, it's my right. I don't have to take that. Well, then you'll die. And I kind of think that way about this. You don't have to take it, but you'll die, and then you'll probably take a lot of other people, healthcare workers that are taking care of you. You'll probably take them down with you. That's the sad part. And I even got two different people I know that are nurses that say they won't take it. And when I worked in a hospital, there were certain shots they required you to have, and I was just on maintenance. If you didn't want to take them, they said, well, you didn't have to work here.
Hey, Jim.
There's Bill. Go ahead, Bill.
Your cucumbers for 30 minutes, because I've been listening to you on the way home. Bernice is going to get on to you, eating all that salsa from ruin your appetite.
It's pretty good. She's been adding a little bit more jalapeno each time she brings it over, Bill. Yeah, I might have to get up and move, guys. Bill, you're right. Boy, we got a lot of tomatoes today, and they're honeys. They're really nice ones. And the cucumbers are overrunning the place. I don't know if she's going to make pickles or not. Go ahead, Mike, and pass it over to Brian, I guess.
Well, guys, I'm on the driveway. I got to go, so I'm going to have to turn the airwaves over to you. But I'm going to be out for a bit and then back in the car in about 10, 15 minutes. But KNHAN out for now. Over to you.
All right, Brian. Talk to you later. Have a good evening. I'll be out by the time you're back in. And Bill, I'm glad I used the because I'd have to clean up a mess. That was hilarious.
I give Tom a hard time. He's a pretty good old fellow, though. At least that's what he'll tell you anyway.
I just wish he'd get an opinion, man.
Bill says I'm old-fashioned, redneck, and narrow-minded. And I'm going to stay that way.
I guess if you have to, you have to. And I guess I am too. I don't plan on changing either. And I got hopefully a long way to go.
Ex-Californian with a sick call and a redneck.
Well, Bill, I want to ask you here, and you can refer to Michael there. Did they ask you when you was in the Army if you wanted to take a shot or not?
Thank you, Ghost Rider. That was stand up, stand still, and let the air gun pop you.
Me now. I'm not biased in my opinion. I just have one, Mike.
Wait, Tom. Times have changed now. Because you're allowed to choose your sex now when you're in the Army or in the military. And if you need an operation to take carry it forward, the government will pay for that.
Or after March or something rather there. As far as I know, in Bill, the military, they have to take it now, right?
Tell you the truth. I've heard it both ways. I hadn't confirmed it.
Biden passed with the executive order or whatever they do. And the only reason times have changed, Michael, is because I'm not president and Bill ain't vice president or vice versa.
The only reason times have changed is because I'm not changing.
Well, it just, you know, we had a guy that got spinal meningitis in one of the companies, and they lined everybody up, and they give us a shot of something in the hip that the next morning, about 60-70% of us couldn't even walk. And they never asked us about that.
I think you didn't get spinal meningitis, correct?
Well, you're pretty well right. I did, however, get the three-day measles when I was in boot camp. And every time that guy'd come up to the cage there where we were at, we'd all scream at him and say, "Rubella eats," when he'd bring our lunch.
Had to go in the hospital during basic training on my birthday with walking pneumonia. And they give you 24 hours to either check yourself out or get recycled and start over boot camp. Well, I didn't start over boot camp. You just push on. Or at least that's how it used to be.
Then they, if you went in with a cold, or for anything, wasn't the first thing they do is a prostate exam?
Well, I kept getting nosebleeds, and one night, several of the guys come in, and there was a blood trail to the restroom, and they opened the door behind me there, and they said, "Rouse, you're going to sick bay." And no, I ain't. They'll set me back, and they carried me to sick bay, and they had these little sticks with, I forget what they called them, but it had something on the end of these sticks that burnt like fire. And, you know, they stuck that up my nose and cauterized that. I can't remember the name of it. It was something nitrate. Don't remember, Bill. That took care of that. And when I got the measles, I went in. They grabbed me in an ambulance and took me in on Friday night. And I went back Monday morning because I wasn't going to get set back.
The back wasn't no fun, and the ones that got set back, didn't matter the reason you made fun of them. I mean, that's just the way it was, and that was all the more reason not to get set back. I wasn't going to get, we called it being recycled. That's what our drill sergeant called us, being recycled. And I wasn't going to get recycled. So I will say they let up on me a little bit for a couple of days till I got to where I could actually breathe. But after that, it didn't matter how bad I coughed, they'd still get into me. Back then, they could still, be a drill sergeant. Not like today.
Anyway, I'm out of here. N6CLX, guys. Talk to you later.
For Golf Whiskey Romeo, your signal's about as horrible as it can get. You're not making it into the repeater, and it has a motorboating sound that goes along with it. Just not satisfactory at all. It's N0TR, Tom. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, the signal on that handheld is pretty weak. Might try changing locations, or if it has power options, try boosting the power. But yeah, Tom, yeah, the it wasn't no fun in getting sick in boot camp, no matter what the reason.
Gentlemen, some time to break in there, but I just couldn't hardly copy it at all. No. And they didn't have much sympathy. When they put me in the ambulance that night, I'll never forget, and this was kind of cruel in my estimation. When you took you to sick bay, there was a rack, and then there was a curtain, and a rack, and a curtain, you know. And when I got into that old ambulance, one of those old gray ones, you know, probably a Cadillac ambulance. I don't remember now. It was towards night, and they discovered I had a rash and the measles. And I got in there, and I sat down, and you know me, I never met a stranger. And this little chunky kid, he was rather on the heavy side, was sitting there. And I said, well, how you doing, Ike? I said, you want to stay a little ways away from me? I said, I have the measles. I said, what are you here for? And I swear to God, Bill, he says, my nerves. He said, oh, sure. I said, well, I'll be getting out pretty quick. And when we went into sick bay, I heard that doctor tell him to get squared away, act like a man, and send him back to his company.
Yep, I can imagine. We had a guy, he wanted out so bad. Now, this is how dumb he was. He turned up a bottle of Brasso and was drinking it. And the whole time, the drill sergeant was slapping it out of his hand because, you know, that's caustic. And it like killed him. But he was certified because they ended up putting him out on unable to adapt to military life. But he spent some time on, I can't remember if it was the 7th or 8th floor, there was a psych ward at Fort Jackson. But he spent, I want to say, 6 months there before they let him out. If he'd just went on through boot camp, he'd have been done.
Well, I honestly think this young man had a problem. As I look back on it, I felt sorry for him because he was a mess. He really was. We had one, and we didn't realize it because it was during indoctrination, and he didn't want to be there, and he'd shave in the morning, and he had acne real bad, and he'd just shave part of his face off every morning, and he just sort of disappeared.
The ones that can't make it, they get those calls to the office, CQ, and next thing you know, her rack is empty.
Bill, we had to serve 1 week in 40-50 as guards. And it was required. It was kind of like stand and watch. Well, 40-50 was a disciplinary thing. And then there was another one called 40-13, and that was the bedwetters. And that was another way to get out. And anyways, I'll never forget, I went down there, and there's a big sign there, and they warned us before we went. Said, when you knock on that door, you had to go through this procedure to enter that area. And it was a bunch of pivots, and you walked up to the desk, and you sounded off, you know, with your name and company and things like that. And you better get it right. So anyways, I go down there, and I don't remember what time it was, midnight. And I walked up there, and there's a big square white spot on the door, and it said, knock here. And you're supposed to try to knock the wall down. And I did. And I screamed out, the exchange that you were supposed to. And this guy gets up from his desk, and heck, he might as well have been an admiral. I think he was a seaman. And he comes over and looks at me. He says, you want to try that again? And he went back and sat down, and I'd done the same thing again. Because that's what I was told. But you're not supposed to do that after the lights out. And I didn't realize that, so he picks up this great big huge, about a 2-inch nightstick, and comes over there, and he looks me in the eyes. He says, I think I'm going to kill you. I never forgot that either. And finally, he did explain what I did wrong. But I'll tell you what, after watching what they did to the guys that wound up in that unit, I didn't want no part of that.
It's really a sad thing when they lose respect. It's tough, because as long as you're trying, as long as you got the respect of the people around you, they'll help you through it. But once you anything below that line, it gets pretty rough. I saw a couple that did the same thing, and it wasn't no fun for them. I think they learned real quick that this wasn't the bed and breakfast that they were used to.
Sorry, you didn't take your mama, would you? I was in the scullery. You had to serve in there a week also. And anyways, I was taking the trays. After guys ate, they come by with their metal trays, you know, and stick it in the window there, and you would put it over wherever, and it would go on down the line and get cleaned. And I heard this thump, 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 and I thought, what in the world is that? And about that time, this guy stuck almost his whole body through that hole that you're supposed to stick your tray through. He had a red sailor hat on, and when he did, as loud as that boy could scream, he said, "Sir, one knife, one fork, one spoon, one tray, sir." And he handed that to me, and I just about passed out. I mean, he scared me to death. And that's what it was. Everywhere they went, they had to double time. And that one foot had to come down and slam every single time. And the, we'll call him a DI, the guy behind him that was in charge of him, had a big nightstick, and every time he didn't hit that foot hard, he kind of goosed him in the back with that nightstick, Bill. And they said he was from the San Diego Police Department, some kind of disciplinary guy there. And they had a name for him. I think it was Little Caesar, and none of us wanted to meet Little Caesar.
So, and I imagine if he was on duty when people were on leave and he got to deal with them, they got dealt with, sounds like. I think the worst we got into was just a little tomfoolery, pardon the pun, but we tried to stay out of trouble.
Wasn't no question about that. We had a little fun in the barracks at times, but there wasn't no company commanders around there at the time. When that guy come in there to eat, and he'd do the same thing walking down the chow line, he'd stick that tray straight out, and you would put him a scoop of whatever it was there. And when he sat down at the table by himself, he had so many minutes to eat. And I think it was like 3 minutes or some ungodly amount of short time, you know. And then away he went. But they had their ways. I doubt if any of that happens nowadays, Bill.
They have stress cards. And if they get too stressed, they pull out their little stress card and they get to go in timeout. True story.
Yeah, I went to school in Erie, Pennsylvania. This is in Gerald T.R. And I was flying back. It was a General Electric school up there where they made the locomotives and that. And I went up there on an SCR drive. And I was flying back, and I was with wasn't a first sergeant. He was below that, I think. But he was getting out. He was like an E6, maybe an E7, and I think more like E6, a young guy. And he'd been in 11 years or something. I asked him, why in the world? I was sitting beside him. I said, are you getting out now? That was it. And he told me about that stress card, and he'd been a drill instructor. And he says, that done it for me, Tom. And he explained how they could do that. I said, you know what Nordrum BT-1 boiler tender first class would have done if we stuck a stress card out? He said, he'd have probably fed it to you. And I said, you got it.
I was thinking they would have made you eat it. We had a rock in the right outside the barracks. It was called Gillette. And if you didn't shave good enough, you had to go rub on Gillette with your face. There was all kind of craziness. Now they can't hardly train them, I don't believe. But I guess they do. The ones that go through, they serve, and they serve proudly. So I'm not making light of them by any means.
They'll sacrifice a lot. Well, we had a guy, and he was in a different company, and we were still on the island, they called it. And it was before you went over to the upperclassman type thing across the island. From the island, there was a bridge. And this guy, honest to God, looked very strange. And I'd seen him before. He didn't have a hair on his body. And you'd see him standing out there of a morning on the grinder, you know, when you were drilling with your 0383. And we were standing at attention there by the barracks before we went to the grinder one day. And I seen him fall out of line, and I asked one of the guys in the other company, what'd he do wrong? And they said, he didn't shave. And you know, they'd always stand you looking into the sun so they could see any little bit of peach fuzz on your face and that. And they made that guy shave, and he didn't have...
WHM. Yeah, that don't surprise me. It was all for one and one for all. If one did it, we all did it. And if one messed up, we all messed up. I mean, we had to take our barracks down from the second floor and set them up on the drill bay, and then get in mop gear and carry it back upstairs and put it all back together because we failed inspection one time in basic. So that was fun.
They did nice things like that. They, where you hung your laundry out, everything had to be tied up with a square knot, being it was the Navy, of course. And if somebody tied a hard knot, which I wasn't the most brilliant guy in the world about tying your square knots, I never did learn a lot of knots in there. But one time they just cut them all down and then had us march over them, and then you got to clean them again and your spare time, which there was none.
The best duty you could pull during basic was CQ duty. And you could wash your clothes at night while you were on CQ duty. And I think that was about the only time I pulled it twice, because I had a Dodge M80 license, so I was could drive, and I pulled it twice, and I think that's the only two times my clothes got really good and clean that I felt like they were clean, because I washed them about three times that night, both times.
How about you guys? We had concrete tables back then. The good old days. Well, what are you going to do for the rest of the evening? I'm just sitting here watching Channel 7 news and the thing scrolling across the bottom about them spending money. And no sound on, of course. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I should... Oh, Bruce says I got to go pick cucumbers, Bill.
Did have to let you get back to that cucumber picking before you got too relaxed.
I was just kind of waiting on it to get a little bit cooler. It's so nice now, 88 degrees, 53% humidity, and a 92 degree heat index.
It's peachy weather. Well, I do need to get up and go. I'm going to have me a tomato sandwich and some tater chips and pickles for dinner. And it's time for me to have that dinner. So, as always, enjoy it, Tom. Tell Bernice I said hello. And y'all have a great evening. And give it another hour, and it'll cool down some. Let you watch the news and get all frustrated. Then you can go take your frustrations out on them cucumbers. It's M4WHM. I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, Bill. Yeah, I'm already taking care of the chickens, and Well, if I wait that long, well, then it'll be time to go to terrain locker, and I won't be able to go get cucumbers. So, unless you stand behind me here with a big ball bat, you know how violent she is. And so I better go down there and take care of that. We did get 61 hundredths of an inch of rain yesterday. Boy, did it come down for a short time. And they say we're due for some more in the next few days, but tomorrow I got to mow grass, and I'm a little dreading it because of my back, but c'est la vie, so life goes. That's I just got to do it. That's all there is to it. And my neighbor says he'll do it for me anytime, but I ain't to that point yet. You take care, Bill. Had fun. N4WHM, N0TR is clear, and I'm going to shut this thing off.
4WHM, KO4NUE.
Go ahead, Chad. You on Echo Link?
That I don't know how much latencies you having to deal with, but yeah, I'm on Echo Link. We made it up to Richmond, and possibly gonna try to head back tomorrow, depending on how tomorrow goes. But we're pretty tired, and I was wondering if you could give me a helping hand out. And do you have access to any kind of radar as far as weather is concerned? I'll be coming down, I forget what highway we guess, 85, yeah, coming down from West Virginia back to South Carolina, because that may determine, be a factor in trying to get back tomorrow. Is there any way you can help me out, Bill?
Chad, I'm looking at the radar right now, and the only systems are coming out of the southwest to the northeast, and they're calling for rain tonight, and then easing off tomorrow, and a little bit of a chance on Wednesday. So it's a pretty good storm down from Macon, from a line from about Savannah, Macon to Huntsville, Alabama. But it's, like I said, it's moving northeast. Looks like it ought to be here probably by morning. So depending on what time you come tomorrow, we can recheck it. Over.
There's that. I just I don't have access to any of that here, and I just was trying to get somebody to give me a little bit of intel or heads up. If we need to, we may possibly try to make it as far as we can, and then may have to stop and take a break. Trying to get back down south, but things are going good. We're tired, and had a good time. We got to go to a really big Army Navy store up here, and picked up some goodies, and just had a really good time. So I'll let you go, Bill. I know you're busy and wanting to go, but I'm just gonna let you know we made it, and I'll be clear on your final. This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo.
M4WHM. Well, Chad, y'all have glad y'all had a good trip, and hopefully it was everything you needed it to be, and wishing y'all a safe trip home. And if you need to, you got my phone number, give me a call, and I'll be glad to do anything I can for you. Don't hesitate. This is M4WHM. I'm clear.
KA5WLL, stand by for announcement. WLL, just a reminder, meeting tonight at the Red Cross Building, 940 Grove Road in Greenville at 7 p.m. Meeting tonight at 940 Grove Road, 7 p.m. for WY4NYK Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Meeting. KU5WLL clear.
Just getting ready to head out. Rusty, this is Gerald Tier.
Heading tonight.
An hour since I said I was going to go pick cucumbers, and I signed off, and I just forgot to shut the radio off, but that's okay.
Just headed towards rehearsal tonight, and we got a performance in about 3 weeks, so we got to get some rehearsals in and get things done and be ready to go, you know?
Good time at that, and it's supposed to be pretty nice out. I guess tomorrow we'll get some rain. Bernice says she's going to turn me off if I don't get off the radio.
Wait, cucumbers? In your yard or somewhere else?
Yeah, out in the backyard. We just picked tomatoes and we just picked raspberries just a little bit ago, and I've been chatting with the guys here on the way home and stuff, and just signed off with Bill, and I heard Chad, he's up in Virginia, going to be coming home tomorrow.
I heard you talking to somebody a while ago. I had the radio was on in the car while I was walking the dog, and so, yeah, I heard you talking, and wasn't sure who you were talking to, just heard you talking, and thought I'd say hello when I got in the car and headed out, so... Anyway, well, that's good. I guess you better get on out there and go pick some cucumbers before Bernice takes a pot and hits you upside the head with. How about that?
And I think that's what's going to happen. We need to get that done because I got to come back in, take my pills, and get squared away and head for the rain locker. You have a good time, Rusty, and I'll catch you down the line. W2T and 0TR.
W2T Mobile.
BWA Mobile.
Come on in around W2T Mobile.
Yeah, I'm going past downtown Greenville, down to the Red Cross building. They're having a meeting tonight, and it's going to be the first one I've made in I don't know how long.
Well, it's a meeting too, but I'm going to sing a bunch of music when I get to mine, so... That's where I'm headed, and headed that direction. So you can be a little early for the meeting at the Red Cross building.
I live 4 miles south of Highway 11 and Highway 14, and the meeting is down past downtown Greenville. Yeah, it'll take me. I'm hoping I'm going to get there in time.
Oh, I thought you said you were already past downtown Greenville.
No, I said I was heading to just past downtown Greenville to the Red Cross building.
Slightly noisy here today, and got some excess noise in the car, and I'm not sure why, but it is, and also, anyway... Well, like I said, I'm just easing on over here. My rehearsal doesn't start until 7 o'clock, but get over here early and get the building open up, get things set up, and get ready for things. So that's what I'm going to do.
Just don't be Barney and just have a good practice session. I'm sure you guys will do well, so if you got any gigs lined up?
Oh, yeah, we got one in 2 weeks, 2 Mondays from now. So, yeah, we've got one on the 16th, and hopefully getting a few more soon. The place I tried to book, they said, nope, we can't afford that much. And I said, well, what can you afford? And then they told me what they can afford, and I said, nope, we can't quite do it for that little. And particularly with our guys coming all around from all around for a gig, and we do an hour show. So it's kind of hard for us to do it for what they were offering.
You guys charge for an hour show?
Hour show with quartet, $500.
Huh, okay. Well,
they're not paying us. They're just contributing to our, because we're a nonprofit organization. We don't make a penny. Our individual, not a soul in here makes a penny. It all goes to operating our operating expenses for the chapter, which is buying music, doing our programs, paying our director, donating to the place where we rehearse, you know, things like that, helping purchase costumes, various and sundry things like that, and also our programs for our youth activities. We usually funnel quite a bit of money to our youth activities when they're going to competition or something like that.